Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Firearms play a vital role in South Dakota history and South Dakota present. A new documentary by South Dakota Public Broadcasting offers you a look at guns as a part of that history and guns as a part of that identity. Heritage of Arms premieres on SDPB-TV tomorrow night. Here with more in the studios in Vermilion, the program's writer and producer, SDPB's Brian Gevick. Hey, Brian.
Hey, how's it going?
A little images of the past in the summer, and it's a full documentary.
It is. It's a full hour-long show.
Oh, wonderful. So you've been at work for quite some time on this.
Well, I have. And it's an interesting topic.
Right. You know? So where did the genesis kind of come from?
I and some others here spend a fair amount of time in museums, and I've seen a lot of gun collections, and there have been times when I've, you know, looked at the plates and the tags that are on some guns and you know, there's really nothing to say about them, and other times when there's a little bit to say, and I realize that every single one of these has got a story.
Sure.
And there are a remarkable number of them in museums, and if you think about what's in the museums, and you know, who knows how many more are in homes.
How hard is it to get the story behind an individual artifact in a museum like that? Is the provenance pretty well documented?
In some cases, it's going to be impossible. You know,
sure.
Somebody bought the gun because they liked it and they added it to their collection. They just thought it was neat. They wanted a particular model of a gun. Maybe they cared about where it came from. Maybe they didn't. Other cases, it's extremely well documented, and you can count on the provenance. And there's one I got to tell you about.
All right.
Okay. There's a French musket. It was picked up by the British during the French and Indian War and got into the hands of a Massachusetts militiaman by the time of the Revolution. You were required, you know, as a literate person, a little literate man, to have a gun and be ready to show up for the militia when the time came. So this particular individual, whose name was Elnathan Sawtell, carried this gun at Bunker Hill and through several other engagements during the Revolutionary War. He handed it down to his family, and it finally went to his great-grandson, Richard F. Pettigrew, our first senator.
Here we go.
Yeah, and it's just amazing. It made this gun made this trek from, you know, an armory in France, French Indian War, through the Revolution. It ends up here in South Dakota with a prominent South Dakotan, and the point is that it really connects the state to events of a long, long time ago, you know, really the foundation of the country.
Where is it now?
It is in the care of the old Courthouse Museum in Sioux Falls.
Mm-hmm. So how did Pettigrew, did he use it? Was it something he hunted with? Was it something he...
No, it was an heirloom that came to him through his uncle, and I think it was probably more just a, you know, something that he had in his collection. He collected a lot of stuff,
right?
As a lot of people know.
There's a museum named after him for a reason. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. But he was really, really proud of this gun, and I have it on good authority that if you wanted to, you could probably take this gun out and fire it right now. But nobody's going to do that.
Right.
Yeah.
How often do they last in a way and are cared for in a way because of the nature of the artifact itself compared to, you know, something else that might get passed down through generations? Are they maintained and used and maintained and therefore end up in good shape, or are they more likely to fall into disrepair because they need to be maintained and cleaned?
Well, when you think about how many guns are out there, especially, right, you know, you want to go back to the days of the first European explorers and settlers. All varieties, all conditions, everything from, you know, a gun that may be 300 years old and it's in extremely good shape, right, to, you know, a little revolver that was used by some thug in the 30s that's, you know, a wreck. So it really just depends on, you know, who owned it, where they were, you know, where they were and so on. But it runs the gamut.
Across the state? How far did you go for Heritage of Arms? What kind of corners of the state were you uncovering?
Well, this gives me a wonderful opportunity to thank some people. We were all over the state. We were at the 1881 Courthouse Museum in Custer. We were at the Adams Museum, the Days of 76 Museum in Deadwood. We were at the Journey Museum in Rapid City, and along with them, the Minnelusa Historical Association helped us out with some photos and so on. We were also at the State Historical Society in Pier and the Siouxland Heritage Museums in Sioux Falls.
You have a lot of fun kind of having these conversations and geeking out about history.
Yeah.
Yeah. How important, we talk about identity and this sort of the notion of, you know, how integral are firearms to the history of this state?
Incredibly. Anyone who came out here had a gun with them. You know, any European explorer, settler, it was just part of their life. You know, and a number of the people that I speak to in the documentary make this point far more eloquently than I can. But it was going to be the way that you survived here. Right. There were a lot of dangers of all kinds, and of course, you just had to feed yourself.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Native Americans, tribes carrying guns. At what point are firearms part of the tribal culture in the state?
Very, very early, the early traders and trappers who came overland at first and then came up the Missouri River later, guns were trade items. And some of the trade guns were not the very best firearms that you've ever seen.
Sure.
But that is basically their introduction. And, you know, by the time that you got into the 1870s, there were all kinds of the latest technology, the Native Americans had them for various reasons. It's kind of ironic that at one point the government gave them very high quality guns so that they could hunt to support themselves. And it wasn't long after that that they decided it was time to take them away. And that, of course, led to what happened at Wounded Knee.
Tell me another story about an individual weapon that...
I would love to.
Yes. The stories are the best part of it.
Okay. There is... now, there are two rifles here to talk about. Okay. They're both from the Civil War. The first one is a Springfield 1861. It's a rifle. It was carried by a gentleman named Leopold Joseph Balza. He was from Wisconsin. He got into the war relatively late, 1864. Ended up on Sherman's March to the Sea, up through the Carolina campaign, and all the way up to Washington, D.C., where they marched the thing out with the Grand Review. Mr. Balza is Mike Rounds' great-great-grandfather, Senator Mike Rounds. And we spoke with him in the documentary about the gun. And he came to the Cultural Heritage Museum in Pierre and talked to us all about it and talked to about Leopold Balza. The second one is an old Prussian musket, and I'm talking like 1830s, that was carried by a man named Joseph M. Dixon from Sioux Falls, actually, eventually. But he was on a parallel path. He was in a lot longer, and he has a really colorful story and a lot of service. But the point is that he was on Sherman's March to the Sea. He was in Savannah. He was in a number of places that Senator Rounds' great-great-grandfather was in. They both were at the Grand Review. They both went home to their home states. They both moved to South Dakota. And, J.M. Dixon became the county sheriff in Minnehaha County, and then he was chief of police. And it's just amazing, that these guns are like 250 miles apart now.
Really?
To think about, maybe they've always been that far apart. These guys, there's tens of thousands of soldiers out there, but it's just kind of interesting to think that they would have traveled that parallel path.
Right, right.
And I should also say that the senator makes a real point of crediting his family, in particular a cousin named Leon Bay, who really did the legwork in getting the thing to the Historical Society Museum. And also spoke to Senator Rounds a little bit about the culture in South Dakota and what guns mean for that.
All right, let's hear a little bit about what Senator Rounds had to say.
Guns are tools, and they are tools that have been important for not just the settling of this state and farmers coming out here, ranchers coming out here. They used guns as tools. They were protection. They were also used for recreation. They were used for gathering food. And so the gun itself can be a number of different types of tools rolled into one. What I like is the fact that today, the vast majority of us use guns as a tool in a responsible way for recreational opportunities and something that is a part of our culture.
That's Senator Mike Rounds. It's part of Heritage of Arms. It's a new documentary for Images of the Past on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. Premieres on SDPB-TV tomorrow night. Is that correct?
That is correct. At 8 Central, 7 Mountain.
Wonderful. Well, I'm glad you had fun doing this because, yeah.
You know, it is fun. There are serious messages in the program as well.
Yes.
I mean, it's not an entirely light topic.
By fun, I mean like historically geeking out because I think Brian Gevick knows everything about the state of South Dakota, I'm convinced.
Not yet. I'm talking to people who do, which helps a lot.
More stories to be told. Always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Good to be here.
Heritage of Arms premieres tomorrow night, SDPB TV.